You're listening to a sermon podcast from Agape Baptist Church, recorded live from our Sunday service.
Good morning, church. Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 to 8. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. This is the word of the Lord.
Okay, the Lord bless you. It's so good to see you here in the worship hall. I can't see those of us who are right at our in our homes who are worshiping with us today. And the Lord bless you as well. This is Easter Sunday, and it's good to gather together, either, you know, as we are here in the worship hall or in our homes, and it's good to see you. If you are here for the first time, either here in our service in the worship hall, I think that the ushers would have given to you a scan card that you could actually scan right now and then register for a gift from us if you're here. But if you're at home, it is on your screen just right now, and you could scan that and then fill in the details, and that will get in touch with you, and there's a gift that is available for you as a result of that. Before I start this morning, I want to give a shout out to those people who are doing this, who are helping us technically from behind, the AV team. You know what it is like when the sound doesn't come on? You were stressed out just now. Can you imagine the kind of stress that they went through? You know, and so we're just so thankful for them that they hold this thing up, right? Yeah. Yeah. Praise the Lord for you guys. Thank you for bearing all the stress on our behalf, you know. And those at home, I know that there's a little bit of technical issues. When you're hearing from home as well, I think there's a little bit of teething problems right now, but it will be resolved over the weeks to come, okay? So bear with us for a little while. You know, I don't know whether you know this about me, but I love the color yellow. Now, I don't wear yellow clothes, okay? I don't wear yellow shirt or yellow pants. I don't like yellow walls. But I just like yellow, especially if they are in paintings or yellow as in flowers. The color yellow featured at my wedding, all right, at our wedding. Okay, I got married to Christina 37 years ago, a very long, long time ago. And our theme for our wedding was yellow, green, and white, and yellow featured very much. We had, you know, we were young, we didn't have a lot of money, but I was insistent that we got to have lots of yellow flowers at our wedding. And we did that, you know. I also have a love, since I was growing up as a little boy, I was totally attracted to the yellow Beetle, the Volkswagen car. And I still love it, you know. Every time I see it on the road, you know, it makes my day. You know, I don't own one. I think it'd be odd for me to drive one around, especially when I was younger, you know, because it looks like a woman's car. But anyway, you know, I always tell my children that one day they should buy me a yellow Beetle, and I will be driving my grandkids around and painting the town yellow. You know, and I think that those days are will come to pass one day, you know. But it all depends on my children whether they'll buy me one, which I doubt they would. All right, now, you know, colors have a way of evoking our emotions. I don't know whether you know this to be true about yourself, because they say something about what is going on inside of us. You know, some of us, you know, tend to dress according to the way we feel on the inside. You know, we don't feel like we're wearing something bright if you're feeling a little depressed or, you know, a little, you know, out of sync. Now, painters in particular use colors to express what is going on in their souls. And I think they are one of those people who really, as artists, who really do that. And every one of us is familiar with Vincent van Gogh. And he was born into a Christian family, a very devout Christian family. But sadly, this famous Dutch painter left the Christian faith that his parents had imparted into him. And as a young man, and over time, his life just sank into depression and destruction. However, later on in his life, he returned to the faith of his fathers, and the latter years of his life took on on hope. And Vincent van Gogh gave that hope expressions in his paintings. And students who study his paintings discovered that there was a gradual increase in the presence of the color yellow in his paintings as he grew older and older. Yellow evoked for him the hope and warmth of the love of God. And in his early depressed years, when he was far away from God, he painted everything in dark shades. But in the latter years of his life, when he was enlightened, he began to use the color yellow very generously and with increasing vibrancy. For example, That's right. Okay, here's the... this is not the painting. Yeah. You remember this painting, The Starry Night by Van Gogh. Some of you might remember this. Very familiar. You notice that there's a yellow sun, and then there are yellow swirling stars. This was when Van Gogh began his rediscovery of God's love. He felt the love of God in nature. So in Starry Night, that's a song, okay? Yeah. He kind of also inspired by this painting, by the way. So he kind of put all the yellows there. But if you notice something, the church, if you could see the church right at the distance there, that stands in the painting, the church should be the house of love and hope. But in his painting, there's no yellow there. It is dark, and it's primarily reflecting his bad experience of church in his childhood, that he couldn't paint the church as a house of hope and love. Then, years later, he painted The Raising of Lazarus. And now you notice that by this time in his life, that he had already found God to be very personal and a very loving God, and he had discovered God in all of his goodness and grace and warmth and love. And the entire painting here is blindingly yellow. You know, is bathed in yellow. And in fact, Van Gogh put his own face, they say that he put his own face on Lazarus to express his own hope in the resurrection. He had come to the place in his life where he believed that Jesus is the resurrection, and that Jesus is able to take any dead thing in your life, any dead situation in your life, and bring it to life. Because he is the resurrection. He is the redemptive Savior. Today is Easter Sunday. Christians around the world celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But is the resurrection fact or is it fiction? Did Jesus really rise from the dead? Because if he did, people, then the resurrection must change our lives, as it did Van Gogh and countless people throughout the centuries. Now, there are many historical events that have happened in the world, but they don't really change you. In 1969, Neil Armstrong became the first man to walk on the moon. And some of you were not born at that time. Others of us were. I was like 10 years old. I was in primary, 2 or 3, or something like that. 3 or 4, maybe. But I remember very clearly that it was such a big thing, even for us as little kids. You know, something new is happening in this world. You know, everybody thought that this would change our lives. But did it? No. It did not change anyone's life at all. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ, if it is true, it will change your life. And it's changed countless people's lives. To this day, we are still celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ in Easter. Now the question is, did it really happen? The text that we just read just now, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 writes that Jesus appeared to numerous people after he was raised from the dead. And that at one point that he actually appeared to 500 people all at once. And Paul mentioned that these people were still alive at the time of his writing. And this is a remarkable statement when he says, after that, in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 15, he says, after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, although some of them have fallen asleep. Now, this little statement that Jesus Christ appeared to 500 people all at once, I mean, it's one of the most remarkable statements in all of Scripture after he died and was raised from the dead. Now, the letters to the Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul probably within 20 years after the death of Jesus Christ. It's similar to writing today. So, for example, if today in 2021, you were to write something that happened the year 2000, okay, like 21 years ago, and you write about something today that happened then, the people who were alive then and who are still alive now will be able to attest to it, whether what you're writing is true or not. So for Paul to make a public statement that 500 people saw Jesus Christ after his death all at once means that there were still people living at that time when the letter was being circulated. And they couldn't refute it if it wasn't true. There is no way that Paul could have gotten away with such a public statement unless there were really hundreds of people who had seen Christ all at once in Judah, in Palestine. Now that explains a lot. Now, when the disciples came along, all 12 of them, and when they said, "We have seen the Lord, he is risen," the average person might look at that and say, "Well, of course you will say that you had been with him, that you have seen him alive after his death, because you have an agenda. You got to keep your movement going, right? You got to keep your power, and you have to keep your institution going." And people might not quite believe the disciples. But when 500 unrelated people showed up and they said, "Oh, we saw him die. And we saw him alive." Imagine the impact of that. The evidence of the 500 really points to the fact that Jesus really died. And he rose from the dead. Now, let me quickly explain why. You see, people, first of all, 500 people don't have hallucination all at the same time. It doesn't happen. You know, it rules out the hallucination theory. Not only that, 500 people are just too big a group to throw a prank or to make a pact together to carry out this lie. I mean, it's 500 people. You see, in such a big group, somebody would surely let the truth out. If this was not true, if this was a lie, somebody would let the truth out, especially 20 years later. But no one did. So Paul could not have made a false statement here. It would not hold water. There was really 500 people who saw the risen Christ. And he really did rise from the dead. like no other person in human history. And that's what we are celebrating today. Guys, we are celebrating the truth. Our lives are founded on this wonderful truth. And it is worthy of celebration. Now, Jesus himself did raise a couple of people from the dead in his ministry. But none of these people stayed risen. They all died again later. In that sense, we would say that they were revived, not really risen. Only Jesus rose from the dead and ascended to heaven, never to die again. And that's what we celebrate. And you can imagine how awesome this was for the eyewitnesses. It changed their lives. Jesus claimed to be what he was. I mean, that he really went to the cross to die for their sins, not his. Because he could not have risen from the dead if he died a sinner. And then, therefore, he went to the cross to take on their punishment, not his. And suddenly, their lives carried hope. This explains why Christianity spread so explosively in those early days. Christianity began to spread like wildfire because the disciples and the people who saw the risen Christ said, "It happened, Jesus died, and he was buried, but he rose again from the dead. We've seen him with our very own eyes." And they now had to tell everybody about it. You know what was the strongest evidence of the resurrection is? It's actually the disciples. You know why I say the disciples? Because the disciples were just ordinary people. They were just ordinary guys. They were fishermen. They were tax collectors and such. They were fearful men. They were afraid to take risk. Full of doubts, uncertainty. When they were walking with Jesus, they were continually plagued with doubts and uncertainty. They were never unsure what was going on. But after the resurrection, they went on to change the world. They subjected themselves to all kinds of danger. They were willing to suffer all kinds of evil for the sake of the name of Jesus. They were in situations that were totally out of their control. Now, why would they be willing to subject themselves to all of that if this was a lie? Why would anyone go through that kind of a risk if it was all a lie? Just think about that. Who would go and die for a lie? Surely something happened. Jesus must have risen. There is no other explanation about how these men would go about shaking the world and spreading Christianity with such a dare. Unless Jesus rose from the dead. They really saw him crucified and buried and now alive on Easter morning. They didn't die for a fraud. They saw him alive and it changed their lives. So the question for us today is this. If Jesus really rose from the dead, then you and I must believe in the resurrection. And if we do believe in the resurrection, it will change our lives. You know, after the resurrection, Jesus was with the disciples for 40 days, and then he ascended to heaven. But before Jesus ascended to heaven, he gave them this command. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. "Then he came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" He said, because he is resurrected, he will be with us always. Now, this is a promise to all of us. This is what gave the disciples such strength, such courage, such power to face all kinds of danger, to obey this command that was given to them, to spread the faith. They saw Jesus rise from the dead. They knew, therefore, that he had not left them and that he was with them. People, this is what gives courage to many of us who are Christians. You know, this is what gives courage to countless of church planters that I work with in very difficult situations, in very trying places, that they continue to thrive only because they know that Jesus Christ is with them. That even in this pandemic, if the Church of Jesus Christ continues to thrive and flourish, and churches are still being planted, it's primarily because there's a couple out there in that remote place, in that city that is filled with all kinds of evil, that believe that Jesus is with them. And Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me." What does that mean? It means he sits at the right throne of God, in the seat of the prime minister. He's now ruling over history. He is in charge, even in this pandemic. I mean, in season and out of season, good times and bad times, no matter what happens, he is still in control. He's not a dead savior. He is the risen savior. And people, therefore, if you forget the resurrection, then the crosses of your life would be purposeless. You and I, we have our crosses to bear. Often we all suffer for things that we don't deserve. We sometimes have to suffer for the sins that other people commit against us. And I tell you, if you don't believe in the resurrection, and if you do not know that God is with you and with you always, you will not be able to bear these crosses. You will be crushed by them. Your suffering will not make sense to you. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives you hope. It gives you strength. It gives you courage. Jesus is risen. He is with you. The resurrection becomes the stamp of hope in the fact that God, who raised Christ from the dead, is with you. And he can redemptively bring life out of the most hopeless dead situations in your life. And so you could endure through it. You could walk through it. You could bear it. You know, when we watch a movie, we love to see happy endings. I mean, we always like to leave the cinema or, you know, finish a show feeling happy, feeling good. You know, we like happy endings. But the reality of life is not always happy endings. But if you trust in the resurrection, you are guaranteed an eventual happy ending. How come? Because Jesus, who was truly risen from the dead, promises this. He says, "Surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." Our story will end happy only because Jesus is risen. One day you and I will join the countless people who have gone before us and we have entered into eternity. And we will enter into a world that is without COVID and without racism and without terrorism and without sin and without disease. So many people today are scared. Some people are angry and sad. And you know the reason why? Because underneath all of the details of all the problems that we are facing in life, there is one running theme. The theme is the thirst for resurrection. We want something that has died in our lives to be brought back to newness. We want a redemptive solution to our problems. We want a redemptive outcome. And Jesus said this in Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, I am making all things new. You see, people, underneath all the problems that we have is this thirst for a resurrection. It goes like this. He says, if only I could take back the last 10 years of my marriage. If only I could start over. If only I can take those things that I've said back. If only I could reverse all the mistakes that I've made. If only somehow I could clear the rubble that I've done, the ruins I've brought upon myself, and I could rebuild again. I could start afresh again. If only I could have back my old figure and my old face and my old hair and my old whatever. There is a thirst for resurrection. There is a thirst for newness. And here is Jesus Christ. And He comes to us. And He says to us, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He doesn't say that He is resurrected, which He was. But He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He's saying, I can do it. You want freshness? You want a fresh start? You want newness? You want to start all over again? I mean, you want eternal newness? Jesus says, I can do it. I have done it. Because I am the resurrection. That is what Vincent van Gogh found. And he painted the resurrection of Lazarus in brilliant yellow, his soul beaming with hope. Let me close with this. You know, we all know this, that when we go out and eat at a restaurant, you know, we pay for something and they always give us a receipt. And you know why? You got to take that receipt with you and keep it for a while, because if someone comes running after you, you know, and from the restaurant and tells you that, hey, you know what? You have not paid for your food, and accuses you of walking out of the restaurant without paying for it, you know, the only proof that you would have that you have paid for it is that you pull out your wallet, you pull out whatever you have, and you take out the receipt, which is a clear evidence that you have paid for it, and you show it to them, and they will say, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that you have paid for it. I see the evidence now. Thank you so much. We made a mistake. But if you had simply taken that receipt and thrown it away, crushed it and thrown it in a waste paper basket, then what would happen is that even though you have paid for it, you have no proof to say that you have paid for it, and therefore they may make you pay for it all over again. Now, how do you know that Jesus really died for your sins? What is the proof that Jesus really died for your sins? You see, people, at the cross, Jesus took on our punishment. He didn't die for a single wrong that He did. He did nothing wrong. He died for all our wrong, the things that we have done wrong. He paid for our sins. But how do you know that He paid for your sins? How do you know He paid the penalty, that He paid the debt? You know it because He rose from the dead. That's the receipt. That's the proof. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is God's way of giving us a receipt and stamping it. It's paid in full. Altogether. You know, because He rose from the dead, we know that the payment for our sins have been made in full, and now God is ready to bless us with His presence. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. In fact, He is committed to take those dead, hopeless situations in our lives and to turn it around and to make it new and to bring life into it. Eventually, even physical death that we will suffer and we will end that way will eventually turn into eternal life for us who believe in Jesus Christ. He is excited about making all things new in our lives. The change in us will bring Him great glory and joy. And Vincent van Gogh knew it very well. In his journey with Jesus, he moved from bleak gray shades to the true, bright, vibrant colors of the resurrection. The disciples experienced the same newness, and so did millions of Christians over history, over the ages, because Jesus is not dead. He is alive. And for those of us who are here, who are seated here in this hall, who are worshiping with us in your homes today, if you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have hope. And you can have courage. And you can walk through those dark situations in your life. And you will never be the same again. Because Jesus is risen. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to this sermon podcast. You can find more of our sermons online on our website at www.agape.org.sg.